Have you ever had anybody ask you some questions like, why is it okay to have psalm books and to use a pitch pie and not use instruments of music in the worship? Or maybe they ask the question, you know, why do we provide classrooms and workbooks for our teenagers but not a place for recreation for our young people? Or I've had some people ask, where does it mention carpet and pews in the Bible, or electric lights for that matter? Now, these are questions sometimes that I've been asked by people of the world, sometimes people by other religions who want to try to justify something that's in their worship by which they have no authority from the Bible to have in their worship. I've even had people say, you know, you use sound systems and PowerPoint projectors, yet you can't read about that in the New Testament. They say there's a lot of things that you do that you don't have authority for. And therefore, they're saying that if you can do one thing without authority, you can do anything without authority. In fact, I was present at a debate in Nashville. It's called the Nashville Meeting. And one of the fellows who was presenting the reason that he thought that there could be institutions used by the church to do the work of the church was that there's many things that we do that we don't have authority for. And I was kind of dumbfounded by that statement. I will say this, if it is okay for us to do something without authority, then it is okay for us to do something else without authority. In fact, if we can do anything in our worship, in our work as the church, or in our lives as individuals, if there's anything that we can do in any of those areas without the authority of God, then we can do anything without the authority of God, period. Because if you can do one thing that's not according to the word of the Lord, that's not in the name of the Lord, then you can basically do anything that's not in the word of God. And we might as well do away with any kind of standard and do what we well please in worship and in our daily life and whatever we think ought to be done in the work of the church. If there is no standard, then we are the standard, and what we think would be okay will be okay. But if we have a divine standard, and if what is stated in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 truly means what it says, that whatever we do, whatever, and word or deed that we must do in the name of the Lord, that is by His authority, then we must have authority for everything that we do in word or deed. If not, we might as well throw the Bible out and do what we want to do. You know, that's true not only concerning these questions that we talked about are many times posed, but it's also true concerning the work of the church and its organization. A lot of people ask the question, why is it that the Bible tells us that we're to preach the gospel, then why wouldn't it be just an aid to have an institution like the Missionary Society to help do that work? It's just an aid to do what God wants done. And that's what's stated many times. Sometimes a sponsoring church arrangement where many churches, instead of doing their work under their own autonomy, send money and to help an effort to one church, and it sees to what's done, like many churches of Christ do. What's wrong with that? Isn't it just an aid to help spread the gospel? What about benevolent homes? If the church, at least in some ways, to be involved in benevolence, and we're to see to the widows and orphans in their distresses, then why not build an orphan's home or a nursing home to help in the, isn't it just an aid? I think it's very important that we understand that we do what we do, or we do not do what we don't do, based on God's authority, not just some whim, not just because we think what we do here is what we ought to do. What we do as Christ Church here at Westwood must be based upon the Bible. We must speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent if we're going to follow the instruction of doing all in the name of the Lord. And so last week we began studying about respecting the authority of God. And we're going to continue that study this morning as we look at the difference between aids and additions. Because so many times we're faced with these kind of questions. And sometimes it's just, even Christians ask these questions because they've not come to understand how to establish Bible authority and what the difference between an aid and an addition are. Some of these questions I've been asked by Christians. You know, what's the difference? We don't read about some of these things in the New Testament. How do we have them? Are we doing things without the authority to do them? It's important we know that because everything according to the Scriptures we must do in the name of the Lord. David began reading there in verse 12, and you read about the unity that we're to have, the peace that we're to have among ourselves, and how that's to all be based upon love. But all that he comes around is based on our love for God and his authority. We can agree to disagree, and we can be happy. We can be unified on things that are not based on truth, and we can be satisfied. But to be unified according to God's way, and to truly have the peace and unity that we must have, and it truly be based on love, it must be based upon the authority of God in doing in word or deed, all in his name, by his authority. And so last time we talked about the importance of respecting that authority and how to establish Bible authority. We said that Bible authority is established in one of three ways. It's established by a direct command. That is a direct statement from the Bible, from the word of God. Here's what you're to do. Here's how you're to do it. Or by a proved example. That is, an example that we find the New Testament church under apostolic authority doing in the Scriptures. Then we have authority to do that and must do that. And by things that are necessarily inferred. And what we mean by that is something that is inferred from the Scriptures necessarily. That is something that is a conclusion that must be drawn from the Scriptures. And we used the illustration last time of the Lord's Supper. That what we partake of and when we partake it and the frequency in which we partake of it is based on all three of those. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have the direct command that came from the Lord himself to the Apostle Paul that we're to partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And when we look at the accounts in the Gospels, we see that that's even specified as to what kind of bread is to be used, unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine, to remember the Lord's death until he comes. He said, do this often as you eat or drink in remembrance of me. So there's a direct command as to what to do. When to do that is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, where we have the apostolic example of them coming together on the first day of the week to do that, as opposed to the first day of the month, the first day of the year. And we see the frequency of that is necessarily inferred in the Scriptures. For example, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, where they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread and some other things as well. But this is established authority for what we do, when we do it, how we do it, is based upon authority. It's not that we come up with it on our own. We must do what we do in word or deed based on the authority of God, his name. So it's established by direct command, an approved example, or something that's necessarily inferred from the Scriptures. And we said when you get that authority, it's going to be one of two kinds. It's either going to be general authority or it's going to be specific authority. We talked about different examples of that. We said that general authority is authority that does not specifically state what or when or where or how. It just says do it. We use the illustration of when the Lord said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. Now, he didn't say how to go, did he? He left that general. He didn't say that we had to walk or that we had to sail or ride. We're at liberty to choose that. The authority is there, but the authority is general. So general authority includes everything that's essential to accomplish the thing that's authorized and allows us the liberty to determine what's not been specified. The fact that he said go and yet didn't tell us how to go, he's left it up to us to have the liberty to choose if I want to walk, sail, ride, fly, ever how I want to get there. As long as I go. Some authority, however, is not left general. God specifies what, when, where, how. And specific authority excludes all other things. And we said that was very important. That a specific authority excludes all of the things not specified. Thus, no man has the right to add anything that's not specified. And we can go many examples throughout the Bible. We can go back to Noah, and God said, build an ark. Now, if he just said, build an ark, that would have been general, wouldn't it? But when he specified the dimensions, when he specified the kind of wood that he wanted it to be built out of, gopher wood, when he specified gopher wood, that excluded all other kinds of wood. All of them. He could have chosen cedar or oak or ash or whatever he wanted to use if he just said build an ark. But when God specifically said, I want you to build it out of gopher wood, it excluded all other things. So simply, general authority includes everything, method or means of executing what's been authorized. And it's up to us to choose how to do it. It gives us that liberty when it's left general. But specific authority excludes everything, method, means other than what's specified. So, establish authority by direct command, proved example, necessary inference. And that authority is either going to be general or specific. But what about aids? Many seek to justify unauthorized things by claiming what they're doing is just an aid. So really, they're putting what they want to do, they're saying we just only have general authority for that. Most people want to look at all authority as being general and nothing ever being specified. Because when something's specified, then it excludes everything else. And if it excludes something that they think would be a good thing to do, something they want to do, they want to say, well, this is really just general authority, and it's just an aid. Really not adding anything. But there is a difference between an aid and an addition. And that's what we want to really see in our lesson. And this answers the question as to why can you have a songbook or a pitch pipe but you can't have instrumental music. It really answers the question as to why there are certain things in the church that we're to do in a way that we're to do it, but other things, other ways are not to be used, such as institutions, to do the work of the church. And we'll look at that as we go through this lesson. Well, an aid or an addition. What's an aid? An aid is a thing or method which lawfully assists or helps in accomplishing the will of God. It's an expedient liberty. It's an expedient liberty. In other words, it's something that helps you do what God has told you to do. It helps in assisting you to do what God said do, but it doesn't change what God said do. And it doesn't add to what God said do. And then it's an expedient liberty. In other words, it's an expedient, it's a liberty, but it's nothing that you have to have. In fact, you can forego liberties, and if it causes, we'll look at it, if it causes someone whose conscience is weak about using that thing, it would be better to forego your liberty because there's nothing God has commanded. The command is to do something. This aid may help do it, but if it causes a problem with somebody as far as causing them to sin and violate their conscience, it's just a liberty, just an expedient. We'll talk more about that. But an aid is simply a thing or a method which lawfully assists or helps in accomplishing the thing that God is authorized to do. But an addition, on the other hand, is a thing or a method that changes the force or changes the action of the thing that God has authorized. In other words, it adds to what's been specified. There's a difference in helping doing something God says and adding something to what God said do. And as we looked at in our lesson last week, we must not add to or take away from the Word of God. You see, for something to be an aid, first of all, it has to be lawful. You can't do something, Say, well, I think this would help us do what God said do. When God says the aid is not lawful. Anything that's an aid has to be lawful. Anything that we do has to be lawful. We said when Colossians 3:17 says, do all in the name of the Lord, that is by His authority. We said some policeman is after someone who's maybe a shoplifter and they're running away. He says, stop in the name of the, what? Stop in the name of the law. What does he mean by that? The name of the law, it means by the authority of the law. And so he says, do all in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3:17. That means we are to do all things by the authority of God. For us to do it, it must be by His authority, therefore it must be lawful. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things are mastered by anything. All things that we do must be lawful, must be according to the will of God, the will of Christ. 2 John 9, he who goes too far and does not abide by the doctrine, that is the teaching of Christ, doth not have God. It's important for something to be lawful. The doctrine of Christ, the law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty, what we have in the New Testament, the rule, the standard by which we're to go, that's what we're talking about when we talk about the law of Christ, is our rule. If there is no rule, then we can do what we want. But what we do must be lawful. And for an aid to be used, it must be lawful. For we walk by what? Faith. And not by sight. And Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I'm going to walk by faith, I'm going to have to follow the instruction of the word of God. Whatever I do in word or deed must be in the name of the Lord. So for an aid to be used, it must be lawful. Secondly, it must edify. We said an aid is an expedient liberty. There might be something that I might do to help do the command that God has commanded. To do the thing that God has authorized. But it might not edify. And so because it's just an expedient liberty, I would have to forego that aid. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, all things are lawful, as we read, but not all things are profitable. It may, the aid might be lawful to do, but if it doesn't edify in a certain situation, it ought not to be done. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, what is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? One has a psalm, one has a revelation, has a tongue, an interpreter. Let all things be done for what? Edification. Their problem was, wasn't wrong with any of those things, but if they did it indecently and out of order, and it became a detriment to their edification, their building up, he says, let all things be done for edification. And if an aid is simply something to help do, if an aid is simply an expedient liberty, and it doesn't cause edification, then it must be foregone. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul, in several of his letters, talked about the eating of meats. It was lawful to eat meats. Wasn't anything wrong, even eating something had been in the idol's temple. But some people were offended in their conscience. In other words, it would cause them to sin, not having full understanding about the eating of meats. If they partook, so he said he would forego that and that we should forego that. That's what he talked about even in Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Those weak in conscience would respect the right of others to have the liberty, but we're to forego personal liberty in a non-essential matter rather than to lead a brother to sin by violating his conscience and partaking of something he thinks wrong. So, an aid might be lawful, but it might not edify. And we'll talk more about that even as we go. An aid can't be something that's specified. If it's specified, then it's a command. It's not an aid. And that which is specified excludes all other things. So some people want to call that which is not specified, they want to call it an aid. Now, if there's something specified, then it becomes an addition, as we will see. So the thing that's an aid is itself not something that's specified. God has told us what to do and how to do in that. And so an aid must not change, substitute, or add to what God has authorized. That's an aid. Has to be lawful, has to build up, has to edify. It can't be the thing that's specified. And therefore it cannot change, substitute, or add to what God has authorized to do. That's an aid. Some examples of that. Noah. You remember God said build an ark, and if he left it at that, that part of the command is generic, right? Build an ark. But the specific part of that was when God said, I want you to build it out of gopher wood. Now, what would be aids to doing that, and what would be an addition to doing that? Well, in the building of an ark, God did not specify how to go about building that, except that you build it out of gopher wood. So the tools, whether you use axes or saws or buckets or ropes or whatever you use in the tools, God did not specify. He left that generic. He left that general. And general authority allows us the liberty to choose how to do what God said do. But when it comes to the kind of wood, God specified. And when God specifies something, you remember, the thing specified excludes all other things. So when God said, I want you to build it out of gopher wood, it excluded cedar or oak or ash or any other kind of wood. So if Noah would have added oak, and he might have thought in his mind, this would really aid this. This would strengthen this part, or maybe it looked better to him. Whatever reason, he thought it was, he said, well, you know, we got the general spirit of doing this, and we're really not adding anything. It's just an aid. No. This would have been an addition to add oak or cedar or any other wood. But the aids would have been the axes or the saws of the bucket. This would have been simply things to help him do what God had commanded, that he hadn't specified, but where God had specified, anything added to that would be not an aid, but an addition. We see that with Noah. I think you can see it even with the Lord's Supper. The Lord said, eat this bread, drink this cup. An aid to that would be a table to set it on, some containers to put it in, so that we would be able to do what God said do. He said, eat this bread, drink this cup. The things that he specified in that was that it be unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, and by apostolic example, it's authorized it be done on the first day of the week. Now, in addition, we understand that if you added any other kind of bread, we talked about that last week, and it doesn't matter what I think or what I like, I might like cornbread better than I like unleavened bread. I think about anybody in here would like cornbread better than unleavened bread. In fact, I think we'd probably like about any kind of bread better than we would unleavened bread, as far as its taste and that kind of thing. Biscuits are a whole lot better than unleavened bread. But the thing is, God, in remembering his death of eating this bread, he specified by what he partook of in the upper room, taken from the Passover elements to represent his death, he took of unleavened bread. And when that's specified, to use any other kind of bread or any other kind of drink than the fruit of the vine would be not an aid, but an addition. You see, that's different than the table or the containers or even to have a set hour on the first day of the week. These are just aids to do the thing that he has commanded, but what is specified excludes all other things, and to use any other thing would be not an aid, but an addition. If some people say, well, it's just aids some people to take it on Thursday because they work on Sunday. it would aid them in partaking of the Lord's Supper if they took it on Saturday night rather than on Sunday, just be an aid for them. The problem is, if the Lord said, partake of this as often as you drink, if all we had was 1 Corinthians 11, that'd be okay, because the time would not be authorized, except generically, as often as you eat it, do this in remembrance of me. But the fact that we have Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, Bible authority not only as to partake of it, but as to when to partake of it on the first day of the week. The first day of the week excludes any other day. Anything that's specified excludes all other things. And when we have the authority for the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper, it excludes any other day, Monday through Saturday. That would be an addition, not an aid. Partake of it any other day, or partake of any other thing than what God had said. What about baptism? There's a lot of people have a problem with this. Baptizing. Well, he said, go baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's a command to baptize. And an aid to baptizing somebody is you understand what baptism is. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 and Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, baptism is a burial. It's an immersion in water. An aid to that would be a pool or a baptistry. Back here we've got a baptistry. Pool of water so you can baptize people, because the Lord said, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. He said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So an aid to that would be a pool or a pond or a creek or the river or the ocean. Wherever you can find enough water to immerse someone for the forgiveness of sins. Just like in Acts chapter 8, as Philip and the eunuch were traveling along, and he was preaching Jesus unto him, which tells us what preaching Jesus is about. Most times when people preach Jesus today in this world, they say baptism has nothing to do with it. But evidently preaching Jesus to the eunuch, Philip was preaching that you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, because the next verse says, he said, look, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? The water that they had there close to Gaza was simply an aid to do what God said when he said baptize. But God was specific about baptizing. He tells us that it's immersion. It's a burial. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, he said that we're buried into Christ's death through baptism. Colossians 2 and verse 12 tells us that baptism is a burial. It is not sprinkling. It is not pouring. Sprinkling or pouring is not what you do when you bury something. If my dog dies, I don't go out and sprinkle dirt on him, and I don't take a 5-gallon bucket of dirt and pour it on him. I'm going to bury him. Baptism is a burial into the death of Jesus. Some people say, well, it's just an aid, it's just an expedient. When you don't have a big enough place right at hand to sprinkle or pour. Maybe the person's sick. And we'll just sprinkle. We'll just pour in water and we'll call it baptism. Now I want to tell you, that's adding another action. You remember? An aid does not change the force or the action of the thing commanded. But when you sprinkle or pour, it changes the action. It adds another action other than baptizing, immersing. When God was specific about immersing or burying, it excluded all other actions. And so I can use a pond or a pool or a creek or a river in order as an aid to help me do what God said, but God said bury them. And to add any other kind of action is to not act by the authority of God. It's not an aid, but an addition. When it comes to make it music, make melody, the Lord said. Passage that was read earlier by David, also in Ephesians chapter 5, we're told to speak to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Make melody. an aid to that. Somebody says, well, why is it you can have a songbook and a pinch pipe and not have instruments? What's the difference? They both aid. Well, it's true that you might add something that aids. Instruments aid music, don't they? You just listen to the radio, see that it aids music. Aids, there's two kinds of music, a cappella, singing, and instrumental, playing. The Lord, if He just said, make melody, we could have chosen to do it any way they wanted. We could have made melody on instruments, we could have done it in our singing, we could have done it both together. But when He said, make melody, He said, the instrument that is to be used is the heart. And every time He tells us how to do that, in the New Testament, He says singing. Here are two passages. There are others. Every time in the New Testament that it talks about the church making any kind of music, every time without exception, it is specified that we sing, 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 sing. And when we play an instrument, that is another kind of music. It is not only an aid, but it's an addition. You say, well, why is not a pinch pipe? Why is that not an addition? You don't play a pinch pipe. You don't use it to play a melody. You play it to make a note so that you can pitch a song. It helps you to do the command that God had said. It doesn't add a different kind of music. Pinch pipe is not an instrument in the sense that you can make melody on it. I got a tuning fork. Sometimes I use my tuning fork. My grandfather gave me a tuning fork. It does the same thing. Nowadays, some people have got these little electronic ones. And it, you know, it gives you the tone, but it's not an instrument in that you make melody on it. It is simply something to aid in the command that God had commanded through His authority. Song books help with that. Doesn't change the kind of music that we make, does it, when we use a song book? Use a pitch pipe doesn't change the action or the force which God has commanded, that is to sing. Or if we use the projector to put them up on the screen, that doesn't change the music. These are just aids to do what God said. But when we use an instrument, we've added something. It might aid, but it also adds. And when we've added to the Word of God, then God's displeased. Whatever we do in word or deed, it must be by the authority of the Lord in His name. And when we add something, then we've gone too far, and we do not have God, nor do we have fellowship with His Son. Preach the same way. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. We're commanded to preach. An aid to do that would be a stand like this, a pulpit, sound system, a chalkboard, a projector. But it doesn't change the force of the action that God has commanded when He said preach. He was specific, however, as to what we're to preach. He said, you preach the gospel. And when He said preach the gospel, that means that when we preach, we can't preach anything but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to add to that would be some other kind of preaching, some other kind of gospel. A lot of times people use the pulpit for politics. Not the place. Sometimes they use it as a place to preach a social gospel about social things. And even use it as a form of just entertainment. But any other kind of message than the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is to be preached, is an addition. We're to come together and we're to edify. Edify, build one another up. Many passages tell us to edify through teaching, prayer, singing, taking of the Lord's Supper. These are things all that involve our edification together. And we can use class material. We can use the classes themselves, classroom, to be able to teach, like God said, teach, to edify. But when we add social activity. Somebody said, well, we can have classes for our young people and we buy class material for them. Why can't we build them a gym? Many of the denominations do. Many of the churches of Christ build them. Where's their authority for it? Whatever we do in word or deed, it must be by the word of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. And when we add anything to the edification, and when you read the scriptures, where it's 1 Corinthians 14, 26, where he says all things must be done for edification, he's talking about spiritual edification. It's be done for our fellowship. In fact, you can take the concordance and you can look up the word fellowship. The word that's translated fellowship in our New Testament is the Greek word koinonia. It's translated fellowship. It's translated communion. It's translated sharing. But every time when it's used in connection with the church, it's always spiritual in its context. Always. But I tell you what most people think. When they hear the word fellowship, they don't think about spiritual, do they? When they talk about fellowship, oh, we're going to go out here, we're going to have fellowship. You know what they think? They smell the coffee and the donuts. That's what they think. We're going to go out here to the fellowship hall. Folks ask me, over at Westwood, you have fellowship hall? You can tell them, yes, sir, we do. We meet in it every Sunday. Brethren, we're meeting in it right now. This is the fellowship that we're to have. It's spiritual fellowship. And the Bible does not mention the church being involved in any kind of social or entertainment activities or providing a place for that as the work of the church collectively. To do that is to add. Now, to provide a classroom and study material for spiritual edification, we have authority for that. Anything else is an addition. And you know, this, we said, applies to the work of the church and its organization. Why is it that some churches of Christ support missionary societies, sponsoring church arrangements, things like the Herald of Truth or One Nation Under God? Why is that? And we say, no, we can't do that. Why is that? I want to tell you, it's not based on what we think or what we think would be better. It's based on there's either authority for it or there's not authority. Yes, the Lord said preach, and it's to be done by the organization of the church. And the fact of the matter is, the church is to be and is able, it always has been, and it still is able to do the work that God has specified for it to do. It can accomplish God's work by the authority that's given in the New Testament. And I want to tell you, the church in the first century spread the gospel by doing it, didn't they? They didn't have to have a missionary society or the Herald of Truth or One Nation Under God or just like this paper that was just sent here, getting to know your Bible. There's something sent to the church here. Sponsored by the Summerdale Church of Christ down in Summerdale, Alabama. And what they were saying is all the churches need to get together and send all the money down there to that church. It's sponsored by them. They're the sponsoring church, and they oversee this work, and they'll put this man on the TV, and we'll preach the gospel everywhere. Yes, we're to preach, but there is a specific way that God, through His authority in the New Testament, by the command and the example and the things that are inferred in the Scriptures as to how to go about that. And when we do it by any other means, allowing the work of the church under the oversight of the elders, through the deacons and the saints, when it's done by any other means by them and done through some institution like the Missionary Society, send your money to them, they determine who goes out, where they go out, who gets the money and how. Then it's done by a means by which God is not authorized. It's an aid, it's an addition. Yes, we can use the radio, and we can use TV and the internet, printing material, pulpit, to do the work that we as the church of God is to do in preaching the gospel. But when we put that responsibility on another institution or support it, then we're adding to the Word of God. To support this would be an addition, not an aid. Same way with edification. We're to do that work. Every church is to do its own work autonomously. Classes, teachers, material, those are aids to doing that. But to have a Sunday school board, like the denominations do, or have some human foundation to do the edification for the church, then that's an addition, not an aid. Benevolence, same way. Relieve the needy saints. Who's to do that? The local church is to do that. Under the authority. In fact, that's restricted. That'll be for another lesson. Even that's limited for what the church, that the church might not be burdened. It's not its purpose to be the Red Cross. A lot of people think that that's what the church ought to be. It's a disaster relief organization. In fact, I've got a friend whose dad wears it. You'll see him sometimes on when they have a disaster, maybe a flood in Nashville. I've seen him on TV. Church of Christ Disaster Relief on his cap and on his shirt. We can deliver it by messengers. We can deliver it directly. We've got authority for how that's to be done. And when we do that through some other means, whether it's a benevolent institution, a medical mission, or a disaster relief team, we've not aided in doing what God said do. We've added to what God said do. So in conclusion, there's a difference between an aid and an addition. See, aids are acceptable when they're expedient and lawful to assist or help in accomplishing God's will without changing or substituting or adding to what God's commanded while edifying. But an addition is forbidden because it goes too far. It does not follow the authority of the Scriptures. And to add to God's word, to turn away from Christ's gospel for a different gospel, the Bible is very plain in saying that such a one would be accursed. It's very important that we understand that everything that we do must be based on the authority of God. We want to use every aid and expedient that we can to do what God would have us to do. But we never want to add to what God has specified, how He said do it. To do so is to be presumptuous, to think that we know more than what God knows. I've had individuals tell me, oh, we're the 21st century, man. It's not the first century anymore, and we've got to do things differently. I want to tell you, God's word is sufficient. His church is sufficient to do the work that He was determined it to do then and now. God's plan will work if we will simply work God's plan and trust in His authority. And that's why He said, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus. His authority says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. No matter what anybody else says, what anybody else teaches, that's what the Word of God says. And so if you're here this morning, you've never repented, been baptized, you can be this morning. And you'll have your sins forgiven. You can leave here knowing that you're in the right relationship with God. Because He'll add you to His church. He'll forgive you of your sin. If you're here this morning, you've done that, and I've been living like you ought to, make things right now while we stand and sing the song.